lovely people. Yes, it's gotcha time. We hope that you listen in, because the show is fine. Our team are all assembled and sitting in their places. You recognize their voices, which are better than their faces.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Keb Chat Show. I'm going to do something a little bit different in this show. All you've got is me. And a few things that have been playing on my mind over the past couple of weeks. So what are we going to be talking about in this show? We're going to be talking about drivers taking pride in their vehicles. We're going to be talking about credit cards and the problems that the fixed terminal has caused. And we're going to be tackling the issue of the 25-foot turning circle. So, yep, just me in this show. And we'll get started after this.
On your phone, iPad, tablet, and the internet. Cab Chat Radio Show. Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk.
So, a couple of things I wanted to talk about today. One of them is, where has taxi drivers' pride gone in their vehicles? I mean, when I first got my badge, many years ago now, well, not that long ago, well, 28 years ago I got my badge, you used to see drivers actually taking pride in their cabs. I mean, one of the things that I commented on to another driver the other day was, when you used to go into Great Suffolk Street, because a load of cab drivers used to plot up in Great Suffolk Street, have a cup of coffee before the taxi cab was there, the porter cabin. You used to see drivers polishing their cabs. They'd be there polishing their cabs. And not just one, but loads of drivers polishing their cabs while they was taking a break. And you don't seem to see that anymore. And it makes me wonder why. You don't see drivers polishing their cabs or taking pride in their cabs. You know, years ago, some of the nicest and cleanest cabs on the road were some of the oldest ones, believe it or not, where drivers had really, really looked after them. And you look around these days and you see cabs that are dirty, dirty outside, or absolutely filthy outside, dirty on the inside, hubcaps missing, you know, maybe just one hubcap missing, which just looks absolutely terrible. And there just seems to be no pride in the cabs these days. Drivers don't seem to take any pride in their vehicle. And I'm not sure whether it's endemic of the times or, you know, the way things are at the moment. But I remember years ago when I was working the airport and Gorgeous George, as he's known, George Vise, pulled into the old feeder park, not the new one because the new one wasn't there, the old feeder park at the time, in a absolutely spotless fairway. It was a British Racing Green fairway that had chrome bumpers on it, and it was absolutely spotless with the number plate H1PCO, High PCO. And thinking back, it reminded me at the time of, do you remember the film Quadrophenia, when the sort of cool dude played by, I believe it was David Bowie, rode up on his moped that was absolutely spotless in Brighton, and Phil Daniels and the others looked on with envy and at the moped driven by by David Bowie. And when Georgie Vice pulled into the feeder park that day with his immaculate British Racing green fairway, other drivers used to look on and envy, and I thought, one day I want to have a cab like that. And I used to keep my cab spotlessly clean. I mean, at the time I had a second-hand E-Reg Plus that I'd bought that I kept for 6 months, and then I think maybe that was one of the things that made me go and order a brand new fairway from KPMs. And it was quite funny how I ended up at KPMs, really, because I went into M&O's. I left the feeder park one day and went into M&O's and stood there while the salesman had his feet up on the desk and was on the telephone and was totally ignoring me. So I walked into his office and said, is anyone working here? And he said, oh, I'll be with you in a minute. And he carried on with his conversation for another few minutes, and he came out and he said, how can I help you? So I said, I'd like to order one of these. And he said, all right, okay. And he sort of looked at me a bit strangely, and I said, and what I want is the fairway gold, and I want quite a few extras on it. And I had an old pair of jeans on at the time, I remember this, and he looked me up and down, and he looked at me. You know that sort of look that someone gives you when they're looking down at you? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, are you sure you can afford it? And I just looked at him and I thought, you condescending prat. Yeah, he said, are you sure you can afford it? So I looked at him and I said, nah, as it happens, mate, I can't. And I just turned around and walked out. I drove from there to KPM's and ordered it. And I think it was the most expensive cab to go on the road in 1991. Cost me $24,000 when the base price of a fairway at the time was about $19,000. So, loss of a sale for that stupid salesman, wasn't it? But drivers just don't seem to have any pride in their vehicles anymore. I can't stand driving around in a cab that's filthy dirty. It makes me feel dirty if I'm driving a cab round that's dirty, and I just can't stand driving a cab round like that. You know, you can see there's still a few drivers around that take pride in their vehicles and clean and polish, and they always look shiny and clean. But it seems to be on a decrease, and I'm not sure why. So come on, guys, let's clean up our acts, and let's clean up our cabs and present a really good image to the travelling public. You know, let's make what is the best taxi service in the world be looked upon as the best taxi service in the world. So this month, or August, saw the new Nissan Dynamo electric taxi get approval from Transport for London and be presented to NSL to be licensed as a taxi to ply on the streets of London. So this means that now we have TX2s, TX4s, the odd metro cab still floating around. We also have Mercedes Vitos, and we also have the LEVC. And now, of course, the latest addition to the fleet, we have the Nissan Dynamo electric taxi. Now, a couple of things about this Nissan Dynamo before I go on to what I really want to talk about. I've seen various posts on social media, on Facebook and places like that, where drivers have posted up pictures of private hire using the ENV 200 vehicle, or a derivative of it. It's not really easy for me to say, is it? A derivative of it being used by private hire drivers. And screams going out, is this the new electric taxi? Why are private hire using it? Why is it being produced for private hire? And I sit there and I scratch my head and think, surely no. Drivers cannot be that naive to think that Nissan would only produce the vehicle and allow it to be used as a London taxi for a very, very limited market, when it was already being produced for everyone else before Dynamo took up the challenge to turn the NV200 into a taxi. So of course it's going to be used by private hire. It's cheap for them. It's a derivative of the NV200, the electric version of the NV200 van, but a version of it as a people carrier or an MPV, which is being used by private hire. It's a company called Dynamo that have taken the ENV200 and turned it into a taxi and licensed it in London. Not Nissan. Dynamo have done it. So, please don't think that this is only ever going to be used as a London taxi. I mean, the Vito is not just used as a London taxi. There's thousands and thousands of them out there as private hire vehicles. I think, other than the Prius, it's probably the second most popular private hire vehicle in London. But no one screamed about that. So while we're on the subject of different vehicles in the cab trade, we've now got, as I said, TXEs, the LEVC TXE, two different models of Vito on the road, a few metro cabs still plying their trade on the streets, and now the new Nissan Dynamo ENV 200 electric taxi. So is it now time for the cab trade to drop what is probably the most prohibitive requirement for any vehicle manufacturer trying to offer a taxi to the London market? The 25-foot turning circle. Is it time that we should drop the 25-foot turning circle? Now, in the past, I've always been an advocate of keeping the 25-foot turning circle, because basically the 25-foot turning circle on the London taxi was prohibitive and stopped various different manufacturers from coming into the market, which meant that we kept the iconic shape of the London taxi, with just a small percentage of the fleet being Mercedes Vitos. Now, whether you like the Metro Cab or not, it did look very loosely resembled a London taxi of the time. So, with the taxi sign in the same place and everything else, it basically resembled a London taxi. But now we've got various different other models on the streets. And do we really need the 25-foot turning circle anymore? I mean, most places in London, there's signs up now saying no U-turns. So do we really need the 25-foot turn? I don't know. But one thing I would say is we should never have been confined to having zero emissions capable vehicles, because private hire are still allowed to buy Euro 6 diesel vehicles, and they're allowed to do that until 2023, 5 years after we were confined to buying zero emissions capable vehicles. And don't forget, when TfL brought in this regulation, there was no vehicle available for us to buy because the LEVC was delayed by at least 2 to 3 months. So there was no vehicle for us to buy, so there was no supply of London taxis coming onto the streets of London. So we should never have been confined to zero emissions capable vehicles, especially seeing as there was no infrastructure in place to support them, especially at the time. We should still be allowed to buy Euro 6 diesel vehicles, the same as private hire can, until 2023. Now, if that had been the case, we would have had 5 more years of being able to buy Euro 6 diesel vehicles, which would have included the Mercedes Vito. The other thing is, if we dropped the 25-foot turning circle, it would open the market up further for vehicles like the new Ford Transit, the Volkswagen Caravelle, and of course the Mercedes Vito. Now, lots of people say, yes, but we're going to lose the icon. So what is the icon? What is the icon? LEVC and LTC, or LTI as they were previously, would love you to believe that the icon was the taxi. And it was an iconic shape. But is it the icon of the London taxi trade? And should drivers believe that it's the icon of the London taxi trade? Or is it the driver that's the icon? It's not the taxi that goes and does 4 years trundling the streets on a moped, learning different routes around London, places of interest, etc. It's the driver that commits his time to undertaking the knowledge of London. It's the driver that wears the badge around his neck, a badge that he's proud of. Not the taxi. In my view, the icon is the hire light, the driver and the badge, not the vehicle. And to some extent, as I said, in the past I was an advocate for keeping the 25-foot turning circle. But as we're going to have so many different vehicles on the roads in London, I think that the icon has now been diluted and to some extent being lost. Those drivers that have bought an LEVC will say, no, we shouldn't drop the 25-foot turning circle because of the iconic shape. But we've got Vitos on the road. We're going to have Nissan Dynamos on the road. So the icon's gone, as far as I'm concerned. And opening up the 25-foot turning circle, or getting rid of the 25-foot turning circle, which isn't actually a 25-foot turning circle anymore, believe it or not, because it was altered to accommodate the TX when it came out, because it wouldn't turn around in 25 feet, it's 28 feet. So, doing away with that would open up the market if TfL would also allow us to buy Euro 6 diesel vehicles. So let me know what you think about that. Also, one thing about the reduction in age limit to 12 years. One of the things that was in or included with the reduction of the age limit to 12 years was the abolishment of historic vehicles, i.e. there were a couple of Asquiths that were still eligible to be licensed for up to 20 years. Now, that has been abolished for the taxi trade. So no vehicle after 2021 will be licensed if it's over 12 years old, and it will have to come off the road on its 12th birthday by 2022. But the same has not been applied to the private hire industry. There are still vehicles going to be driving around at the moment with a historic status. One company springs to mind for me is a company that goes by the name of Big City Little Car, who race around London in little minis giving guided tours of London. Now, obviously all these minis are classic shaped minis and old vehicles that would not comply with a 10-year age limit for private hire, and yet there has been no call from TfL to do away with historic status for private hire vehicles. Now, that's another thing that's totally unfair and something that needs to be addressed by TfL, because although we don't want a level playing field, because we don't want them to be able to be, we don't want them to come up to our level, to our standard. We want private hire to stay at the bottom where they are, where they belong. And the longer that the likes of Uber give a crap service, the better it is for us with our premium service and our gold standard and our reputation for being the best taxi service in the world. We want it to stay like that. So what we want is not a level playing field, but we want to be treated as fairly as they seem to be or appear to be treating private hire. If historic status has been abolished for the London taxi trade, then historic status should be abolished for the private hire trade also, with no exceptions, I'm afraid, because they've not allowed any exceptions for the London taxi trade. So it should be abolished in the same way as they've abolished it for the London taxi trade. Another thing that I picked up on the other day, I watched a podcast, they call it, and it's not really a podcast, it's a YouTube video by Otto Carr, our friend there, Gurinder Dhillon. Otto Carr podcast, they call it. This is a podcast by Otto Carr. And it was two guys from Otto Carr having a little chat with the owner of Green Tomato Cars about how unfair it was that private hire was subject to the congestion charge and yet London taxis were not. Now, let me get one thing straight, and if you listen to this, Otto Carr, you haven't spent 4 years doing the knowledge of London. You haven't spent 4 years trundling around the streets, learning every single street, government building, theatre, public house, restaurant, place of interest, anywhere that someone may ask to get in a taxi and be taken to. You are not subject to being told which vehicle you can buy. You can buy any vehicle. So it's not unfair that private hire are subject to the congestion charge. Private hire is exactly, should be, if it works to the letter of the law, exactly what it says on the tin. Pre-booked private hire, not immediately available for hire. Therefore, any job that is emanating from outside of the congestion charge zone and comes into the congestion charge zone in a private hire vehicle, charge the customer for it. Quite simple. The same as when I do a wedding, I have to charge the customer to go into the ULEZ zone or the congestion charge zone. Simple. If the customer doesn't want to pay it, they can find some other alternative form of transport. Just because you don't think it's fair, maybe send your drivers to go and do the knowledge of London and let's see whether you think the way the taxi trade is treated is fair. I don't think you will do. You just want the easy option of plying your trade around London without actually doing anything or putting any hard work in to be able to earn that right to be able to ply on the streets of London.
People have listened to our show, and now thanks to our podcast, even more will know. Super Cab is our savior, his talent is a gift, his ego is downloadable, but you need extra bandwidth.
Cab Capture is sponsored by Plan Insurance, who you can find at planinsurance.co.uk/capture. And we're extremely grateful to Plan Insurance for their sponsorship and all the help and support that their staff give us, the team at Capture. So one of the other things I wanted to talk about in this show was credit card terminals. And the problems that's ensued since TfL mandated that every taxi has to have a credit card terminal fitted in the rear of the vehicle. So as we all know, as from October 2016, every single driver was compelled to accept credit card payments and have the facility to accept credit card payments, and that is the way it should have stayed. My view is, us as a trade should never have had to have been mandated to accept credit cards. We should have been accepting credit cards willingly. You know, quite a few years ago now, I realised how prolific the use of card payments was when I was up in Whetstone doing a wedding. And I went into a Costa Coffee, it was the only place that was open, to grab myself a coffee, and there was a big queue of people in front of me. And their card terminal wasn't working. And out of about 20 people in this queue, in this Costa Coffee, the only one person that had cash on them was me. Everyone else was trying to pay for their coffee with a card. And the look of shock and horror on their faces when they was told the card machine wasn't working was as though someone had cut off their oxygen supply and they were going to die instantly on the spot. The fact that they was told that there was a cash machine across the road and they could go and draw some cash out to pay for their coffee didn't really subdue them any. They were horrified that the card machine wasn't working, and it was then that I realised that the use of card payments was becoming more common than the use of cash. So as a trade, we should have realised this and we should have willingly accepted card payments. Now, I know I've accepted card payments ever since basically the day I got my badges, when I first started working as a cab driver, and it's got me out of trouble many, many a time, especially late at night when you've got a young girl in the cab, she wants to go to a cash point, especially at the end of the month when everyone's just been paid and everyone's drawn cash out of the bank, and there was no money in the cash point back in those days, and you couldn't find one that had any available cash in. So you'd take them home, they'd have a card, take the card payment, bang, you're out of trouble. And also, it was more convenient for the passenger rather than keep stopping at cash machines, trying each one and finding out they didn't have any cash in them. So, we should have willingly accepted credit cards with the uptake of card payments. More and more so, people were using cards to pay for goods and services. We should have willingly been accepting card payments, but TfL took it upon themselves to mandate upon the taxi trade that we needed to accept card payments and have the facility to take card payments in October 2016. And that's as far as it should have gone. It shouldn't have gone any further. We should have just had to have had the facility to take card payments and accepted card payments, and that was it. This would have allowed drivers to use their preferred method of accepting card payments. With various different handheld machines available on the market, it was absolute madness fitting the system in the back of the cab, which obviously was what TfL did, was they mandated that as from January 2017, every taxi had to have the facility mounted in the rear of the taxi. Now, this has caused endless problems, and TfL are of the opinion that using a backup handheld device is not allowed. This is an unbelievable situation. Now, I don't know whether this is TfL trying to protect the interests of those companies that had fitted systems in the back of taxis, or whether it's just TfL being obstructive with regards to taxi drivers. And I'm going to explain what I mean. Now, we had various different systems that were approved for the use in the back of taxis. And as I said on last week's show, a number of drivers and a number of proprietors went for the cheap option, the option that didn't cost them any money, where the company fitted the system free of charge. And of course, the charges on those systems are higher than ones you have to pay for. Now, any owner-driver that decided to go down that route and then not use the system and use a handheld instead has now got no one else to blame but themselves for receiving letters saying that they need to use the system or pay a rental fee or return the equipment. Because there's no way that these companies were going to fit these systems in the back of the cabs, which have cost hundreds of pounds, for them not to get any return from it at all. You know, what company's going to come along and say, oh, yeah, of course, we'll fit a credit card system in the back of your cab. You don't have to use it. You know, no, you can just lend it. You can borrow it for forever and a day. We don't want anything for it. You can just carry on using your handheld system. We'll just put this in there so it makes you look good. No, life doesn't work like that, unfortunately. And so any owner-driver that went down that route is now facing problems. You got no one else to blame but yourself. Mickey Walker wrote a very good article in The Badge a couple of years ago whereby he compared various different systems, and the CabAb system, iZettle and PayPal come out as being the most cost-effective over a two-year period, whereby over 2 years, if you did a certain amount of card transactions per week, the system would have paid for itself. So you would have been better off laying the money out up front, paying for the system, and then you'd be reaping the benefits by now. But the problem comes with rental taxis. Now, I was recently speaking to a driver who rents a cab off of an unnamed garage. I'm not going to name the garage. And he doesn't really use the system in the back of the cab. He only uses his handheld device. And he's had a phone call from the garage saying that he needs to start using the system in the back of the cab or return the taxi to the garage. Now, this wouldn't have happened years ago because there wasn't more taxis available for rent, but now with the shortage of taxis in London, garages are able to do this and dictate to the drivers what they can do. Now, the problem with fixed terminals in the back of the cabs is when you rent a cab off of somebody, you really are not given the choice as to what credit card provider you use or you choose to process your car transactions. You're refined or restricted to using the card payment system that's fitted in the proprietor's taxi, the one they chose to be fitted in their vehicle, which in some cases, or in most cases, is probably the most expensive system out there. So you're left having to use that system, which creates conflict and confusion, and also confusion with passengers. Because if I take my cabin to have any work done on it and I'm given a loan vehicle, that vehicle may not have the same system fitted as what I've got fitted, and I can probably guarantee it won't have the same system fitted as I've got fitted, which means that you've then got to sign up for another system, which can take a day, which means you can't work according to Transport for London, because of course they say you can't use a backup handheld terminal. Now, I'm sorry, but I thought, one thing us as taxi drivers try to do, and one thing that I've always said, is I personally try to give my customers the best possible service that I can. So therefore, if the system in the back of the cab packs up, rather than having to drive them to a cash point, because they may be trying to catch a train, I've got a backup terminal that I can use instead, which is giving the customer a service. But TfL are trying to prevent me from giving my customer the best service that I can. They're trying to tell me that I can't use that handheld backup terminal, which is mad, because in effect I can be paid for that taxi fare by whatever means I want, be it pound sterling, but pound sterling is the only legal tender in a London taxi, remember. I can accept pound sterling, I can accept euros, I could accept American dollars if I wanted to, I could accept a goat or a sheep if I wanted to, I could accept something in exchange for the fare if I wanted to. So when it comes to taking payment by card, why is it that I'm restricted to using the terminal in the back of the cab? For what reason am I restricted to using the terminal in the back of the cab? Now, as I said earlier, is it because TfL are trying to protect the interests of those companies that have fitted terminals in the back of taxis free of charge for customers? Now, the thing is, I paid for my terminal in the back of my cab. I fitted it. So why can't I use whatever I want? And as I say, when you rent a cab, a lot of fleets have got mixed terminals in their cab. So you might rent one cab that's got one provider's terminal in the cab, and then that cab has a problem and they put you in another cab which has got a different system in it again. If we just had handheld terminals where the driver was responsible for the handheld terminal, it would make life so much easier. There's no restriction on private hire as to how they can accept card payments, only on taxis. Or is there an ulterior motive where Transport for London are concerned? Is it that eventually they want to have the terminals fitted in the back of the taxis and they process the payments and take a cut out of them? There's food for thought for you. Probably not, but it makes you wonder why. Why is it that they're so against drivers using handheld terminals? When, in most cases, if the terminal in the back of the cab has fouled for some reason, that is the most convenient thing for the passenger to use a handheld terminal. Also, it gives the driver choice, rather than at the moment, if you rent a cab, you have no choice. I think the regulations that Transport for London have set out need to be changed. I think the terminal in the back of the vehicle needs to be done away with, and we need to go back to a handheld terminal, as long as the driver has the facility and can produce the facility to accept card payments, then that should be good enough. I know it's more convenient for a lot of people to tap and go, as they say, with the terminal in the back of the cab, but they can tap and go on a handheld terminal just as easily. So I can't see what the problem is with a handheld terminal. Every other business has handheld terminals, or you go in a restaurant, they have a handheld terminal that they can bring to your table. You go anywhere and they produce a handheld terminal. So the regulations need to be changed, and we need to do away with the terminal in the back of the taxi.
We want some
extra listeners, cause we think we are great. So if you like our station, then please go tell a mate. If you can get some of your pal to tune into our show, we promise we will have a day with Ginger Nuts and Coco.
Oh, I do love Ginger Nuts.
You've been listening to the Cab Chat Show, sponsored by Plan Insurance, who you can find at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat. That's all we've got time for in this show. We'll be back later in the week with our regular show. Until then, stay safe out there on those mean streets of London. Earn well. Stay safe. And above all, have fun. And don't forget to keep downloading and listening to Cab Chat. If you've got friends, if you're one of those people that has friends, and if they don't listen to Cab Chat, then get them listening to Cab Chat and show them how to download and listen to the show. Until next week, see you later. Maybe I'll see you out there on those streets. Bye-bye.